Okay, hello there and welcome to this episode of the Total Water Polo podcast. I'm really excited by the guest we're joined by today. It's the head coach of the French men's national team, Florian Brusseau. Florian, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. We're obviously here in Zagreb for the World Cup. Let's get straight in and talk about it. How have you been enjoying your time in Zagreb and how do you think your team's done so far?
It was a tough 3 days of competition for us. We lost. Interesting games for us because we don't have habits to play at this international stage. Not a lot of people from our side are playing the Champions League. So it was tough, but it's very interesting. And the analysis of everything will be the most important thing.
Yeah. And we'll talk more about the national team and the future in a minute. But I'd like to talk about you first and your journey to how you have become the head coach. Can you tell us about you and your career in the sport?
My career in the sport, I started water polo very late. I wasn't a good player. Okay, I played some Champions League game, but you know, first qualification round, second qualification round, but I was very medium class player. But all my career, I wanted, even when I was, let's say, professional, I wanted to have kids to train, to be coach. So I started at 17. I was 17 when I started to be a coach. Then I was born in Paris. This club, Noisy, now is coming in a good position now, even in Europe. Krapic is playing there, for example. Then I played in Nice, in another club in Paris. And when I was 27, opportunity was given to me to become coach in the National Institute of Sport in Paris as an assistant of the youth categories. So I decided to quit and to start my career as a coach.
Yeah. What was it about coaching that you were drawn to?
The relationship with the kids was the most important to me. I come from a city with a bigger identity. And this relationship with the guy, with the family, and how we are building not only sports matters, everything around their life, how to go to school, how to do homework, how to have dreams and to achieve some big goals. It was the main topic to me at the beginning of my career. I didn't expect to be a top-class coach because I'm not a top-class coach, but it wasn't my target. Honestly, I didn't think about it. I just did it. And day by day, it came that I had opportunities in the international stage.
Mm-hmm. Lots of great players go on to coach and fail. And lots of not so good players go on to coach and be successful. And that's the same in lots of sports. Do you feel that maybe your coaching career might be enhanced if you'd had a better playing career? Or do you not feel like that?
I think that there is no rule. Before we started to record this podcast, we spoke about football, we spoke about Wenger, we can quote Ferguson.
Mm-hmm. Mourinho.
So, who is one of my favorites. So, I think there is no rule. I think the advantage when you are a big name, more in water polo than in the other sport, is your connection. Mm-hmm. To have camp, to share the knowledge, to share the games, the relationship with the referees, with the clubs, with the, you know, with all the system. This is the advantage that the big names are, okay? After that, it's only about work and about skills and about capacity and about commitment. Mm-hmm. I think this is it.
Yeah. You mentioned that you were working with junior national teams at INSEP, at the High Performance Center. Can you describe what kind of work you were doing with them before you then joined the senior national teams?
Classical job of an assistant in this thing. It's like, to explain, it's a small American university, let's say. So everything is inside, school, medical things, training. Everything is organized around the sport and around the high-level sport. So I was responsible for the goalkeepers, I was responsible for the swimming plans, I was responsible for the connection between the schools and the practices and and the swimming pool, all around the performance. So I stayed for 2 years as an assistant, then I became first coach, and this is how it goes, how it went.
Yeah. You coached the women's national team.
Yes.
Before you started with the men. It's the same game, but there's obviously differences. Yes. What was the thing you learned most from coaching the women's national team?
To be clear, I had the team, senior national team, from 2012 till 2016. Mm-hmm. And after Olympic Games in Rio, I decided to quit because a lot of factors. And then the federation proposed to me to stay with them and to work with women, and it was a great experience. With the women's side, it's a totally different game, totally different approach. Of course, psychologically, I wasn't ready to handle all this way of communication with mm-hmm. each girls, each woman. And the principal difference to me was the system around them, that for the men it's professional, or it became more and more professional, and the women it's more amateur. And it was a big gap for me to manage to bring all the clubs and all the system with me to produce high performance. Mm-hmm. This was the main things.
Yeah, and obviously you moved to the men's national team. Can you explain how that came about and the events leading up to you joining the men?
It was a combination. Okay, I will not go into all the, let's say, secrets, you know. A lot of combination, but when Neno Vukanić resigned, okay, I had a talk with my boss, and okay, we said, what will we do? Okay, give me few times to think about it. You think about it, if it's a good thing to me to come back. Then we had an agreement, and then we go. This is.
Mm-hmm. I spoke to Jacques Varga earlier this week, mm-hmm. and he explained to me that there were several times in his career where he was offered to be the head coach of the Hungary national team, and he turned them down time and time again until this summer. And I asked him why, and he said it was because that was when he was ready. Were you ready? Do you think you had all the expertise to lead the national team at the time that you were appointed?
You mean 2 years ago, or yes. In 2012?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, yes. 2012, I was... Inconscientious, it's in mm-hmm. English, it's okay. I was only 29, okay. The team was in big group of Europe, so I didn't know what it is to be a national coach, okay. They proposed to me and I went. Now I feel comfortable with this position. I think it's national team coach is a very specific work. It's very different than to work in a club. Mm-hmm. You have to know all the system, how the clubs, the culture of the country, the culture of each club, of all directors, to see how it can go, how it can fit with you, how you can what you can bring to them, and mm-hmm. what you can wait from them. Mm-hmm. So yes, I think that environment of water polo in France now, I am comfortable with. So yes, I think.
Yeah, you're okay. Obviously a good fit and well suited to the job, a job that you would have taken knowing that you would be leading the team into the Paris Olympics, which is obviously something I want to talk about a lot. There's huge expectation for that, but what expectations do you have for yourself and for your team going into those games?
First of all, I want to say that the expectation should be the same with me and the players. It's not personal things, it's we have to build, and we are trying to build together. It's not just something that we say, it's something that we try to do. It's a long time process. We are trying to change the mentality of the players, of the environment, to say that it's not only about the coach or only about the players. We are not in this level, and we are not in this area. 2023 is not like 20 years before with the players. We cannot coach them as we did. So we are building together, and the expectations are very high. We don't want to be impolite or to be arrogant, but we want to be competitive in all games we are taking part.
Mm-hmm. And we're about a year away from the Olympics, and I remember when I was a young kid when the Olympics came to London, and I remember about 6 months before it was the only thing you could hear about on TV. There were advertising boards going up all over the city, stadiums starting to be built, hotels starting to be built. Is it like that in France at the moment?
Yes. And you know that the ticket sales start 1 month ago. Uh-huh. So yes, every day there is not any day that we don't speak about the Olympic Games. Regarding water polo specifically, it's everywhere. You know, you can feel it everywhere. So at it, one hand, it put a lot of pressure on everybody. Everybody want to be part of it. Referees, officials, coaches, managers, physiotherapists, doctors, conditioners, you know, everybody wants to be part of it. So this is big part of my job on daily basis to explain to everybody that only, we don't know yet, 12 players, 13 players and 5 or 6 staff will be in. But it doesn't mean that we don't mind about the other people, but we will have to make choices. And so this is where we are, and in this in-comfort zone that regarding the young players, for example, should we have to build exactly the best team, or should we give some space to the young for the LA 28? This is about the philosophy, so this is where we are now.
Yeah, it's a really difficult situation to manage. And on top of all of that, I know there's a lot of pressure on our home nation at the Olympics, but French water polo has improved quite a lot recently, and there is a bit of pressure on the results side. If you do well, this could be a real big opportunity to increase the scope of the work that's going on in France. If a result doesn't maybe go your way, maybe the interest in the sport could fall away and you lose the momentum that you've built. So there's pressure for, obviously, the result there and then, but also for the future.
This is exactly, yes, this is the point. We have this example. We are a team sport country. Okay, I wouldn't say that we are a sports country. This is not true, because culture is in front. Okay, but regarding team sport country, you guys know all our team, men, women, we are Olympic champion everywhere. So we know that. And with Humble, we can do some, you know, some comparison with Humble, that the national team results help to this sport to be developed in France. So this is a huge responsibility to me to create the best result that we can, because I know that with this kind of result, it can help a lot all of the clubs and all the position of the water polo when I will speak with the partners, private or public partners, to invest and to be involved in the water polo program.
Mm-hmm. We spoke to Hugo Cruciat earlier, and I think we can all agree that French water polo has increased and has got better. And there is now more foreigners in the league than maybe there's been, and the quality of players that are coming in that are increasing the clubs, their level, and also the knowledge within the national team. And you obviously know that, because Vjeko Kobuska has obviously joined the French national team. Can you explain the thinking behind bringing him into your staff for the national team?
Yes, it's very easy to explain. Clubs are investing a lot in water polo, in big players, you know, all the names that we have now. And there are no... The foreigners, it's not about the quantity of foreigners, it's mm-hmm. about the quality. Mm-hmm. And they are big men, good men, you know. They are bringing something, they are bringing knowledge, they are bringing work ethic. This Perlovic, Krapic, Bowen, all these players, they are bringing work ethics also. So mm-hmm. they pull... raising the level of everything, every structure, yeah, every clubs, every first team. So this is great. Regarding bring Vjeko with us, it was simple. I told you earlier, I was met by the Russian, I was met by the Montenegrin as a coach, as a man, as a young man. So I'm a mix of all the culture of water polo. So when Malara came in France, he brought something. When Stamenic came, he brought something. When Pero Kovacevic came, he brought something. So I think that we have to learn from the best. If you want to be competitive with the best, you have to play with the best. So Kobechak, you all know that he's one of the best in the world, actually. So I had a lot of talk with him. I would like to thank Hugh Dubrovnik to allow him to come with to come with us. Sometimes it's not easy for them, it's not easy for us, but I would warmly thank them to let him go. And this is it. So we have one of the best with us. So it's great.
Yeah, we have a phrase in English where and it goes like this: a rising tide raises all boats. So with the increase of players and the knowledge like that, it raises all the level. From the time that you were playing and the time that you've been involved in coaching, to what extent has French water polo really increased its level?
I think everywhere. Mm-hmm. I think everywhere. First of all, the way that the clubs are taking care about the players, taking care about the teams, about the skills, about conditioning, about everything. I think there is no one point. Everything's went, you know, in the same time. So I think we are better and better. We are still far from the top, okay? But we are coming.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, bringing in top players raises the level of the league. But is the grassroots level of water polo, i.e., the academies for where the young players learn to play, is that improving?
Yes, we have a. It's not an excuse. Explique, you know, we have a problem to access to the pools. This is a huge problem. I read an investigation regarding numbers of square meters we have of water regarding the population, and we are the worst in Europe or close to the worst in Europe. We are close to 70 million people, and we don't have swimming pools. We don't have Olympic swimming pools. So it's a big difficulty for the club to go to the swimming pool, or we can go from 9 to 11. So you can imagine the, you know, it's very complicated. We have another explanation that's to find new young coaches to be involved, to be committed in this job. Okay, it's also a problem, but we have numbers. We have still numbers of players, so we should do better. And I think we have one weakness that we stop with this high-level performance. We call it pool. It means that we bring 20 kids and we are taking care of him on every day, school, university, practices. Mm-hmm. And this is that we should build now.
Spain are obviously the most notorious for having that system. Yeah. And would you say that maybe not so much for the Paris Olympics, but looking further afield to the LA Olympics, would you say that would be your number one priority if you could make that decision to bring that in?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Spain is quite different because there's the car.
Yeah.
And with the car, they can practice in the morning and then go back to the club in the evening. So the clubs don't feel punished.
They're not giving up their players.
Exactly.
They're actually benefiting.
Exactly.
From
it. So it's a very good collaboration between them. And look, all the players now they are amazing in all the categories. So, but to come back to your question, yes, I think and I hope that if we have a result, good result, and we show that we can be interested for the country, if I would go to the guy who are in charge, I would say priority number one is to build something for the kids.
Mm. But you've said that in terms of swimming pools, that you haven't got that many. You must be pretty proud that France is competing in the way that it is, given that parameter.
Hey, we didn't win anything. Okay, so to be proud of, you know, no, we are working. I know that there are a lot of coaches, a lot of directors who are fighting on a daily basis to make the water polo more and more important, more and more efficient. So this is it. I'm proud for this guy and for this commitment. There are several guys, but it's not enough. We have to continue, federation, clubs, all together, to rise the level of water polo.
Mm-hmm. You spoke about a high performance centre as being something that could really take France to the next level. What other things could France be doing to further increase and improve?
As I told you, I think that this experience with all the team sports, and this is how I grew the last 5 years, because my office is in this high performance center, and I talk with a lot of coaches of all Olympic champion, fencing, judo, you know, all these sports. And this experience that we have, and we are trying to build with this national team, water polo, is to care about, to have a view, a vision about 360 degrees around the performance. Not only shoot, duels, it's everything around. And we are trying to build a lot of things around them regarding food, regarding recovering, regarding quality of sleep. Regarding quality of recovering after the practices, after the games. We are doing actually here in Zagreb, it's we are testing a lot of things regarding video analysis, individual analysis, blood testing after each game to see how they recover, to evaluate the quality of the sleep and to connect everything. You know, we are trying to do this. It's not easy because water polo is not it's not in the habits of water polo to take care about this. But obviously, if you watch football, if you watch NBA, okay, soccer or NBA, everybody is taking care about this. And I think that this is the next step of water polo, not only in France, but in all over the water polo world. I think that this is the next step to invest on all these things to help the athlete to be better and better.
Yeah, that's interesting, the small details and the fine margins and all the science and stuff. One last question before we move into some quick fire questions. Obviously, the Paris Olympics is and all the events leading up to that are your biggest priority and your focus at the moment. But what are your intentions after the Olympics?
Personally, you mean?
Yes.
Hey, you know, I didn't make any plan in my life. I never... It can be surprising, but I never planned anything. You know, I didn't plan to take to come back to the men's national team. Really, I don't know. I will go where the wind will bring me. You know, it's just, and you know, in our career, water polo career, there are not a lot of good big spots. Let's say there are not a lot of good job. How many very good coaches are unemployed now? Actually. So this is the first. Second, if we succeed in the Olympic Games, or if we don't, if we have a result in Fukuoka, in I don't know, in Israel, you know, everything will depend on this, and will depend on my desire, you know, because I will choose my next job regarding the offers, considering all the offers and all what I want to do with me and with my family.
Okay, fine. We'll go into some quick fire questions for you to answer. Just some
without thinking.
Try and think a little bit, but not too much. What is the best moment of your career?
My best moment in my career is the qualification for the Olympic Games of Rio. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. And your worst moment?
My worst moment of my career. My worst moment. It was a quarterfinal of Universiade 2015 in Korea against USA. Mm-hmm. Ah, yes, it was.
And what happened? What happened then?
Water polo things.
Water polo things. So you're not going to go into more detail than that. Okay, no problem. A team that you wish you had played for that you never did?
Paris Saint-Germain.
In water polo?
In what? Why not?
they
have a handball team, yes or no? They have judo team, yes or no?
Yeah.
Let's go on water polo team.
Let's create a Paris Saint-Germain water polo team. Yeah, why not? Why not? As you said. Okay, you're obviously the head coach of the French national team. If you could pick one player from any other national team in the world to join the French national team tomorrow, you can give him a French passport, he plays for France, who would it be?
Uh-huh. Younger, probably.
Aaron Younger.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I like the way he plays. I had a lot of talk with Fatovic, how he explained to me how great guy he is, great leader, how simple he is, how coachable he is. So definitely, yes, I think I would choose Younger. And I don't want to choose a classical country, you know, Australian guy, great. And Yes.
Yeah, nice. Aaron Younger. Okay. Who is the most naturally gifted young player or player that you've ever coached?
I would say Thomas.
Vernon?
I would say Thomas, yes. Yes, I would say Thomas. And I would say Juliette Dalloin. You know Juliette Dalloin?
Left-hander for France.
Yes. Yes.
What is it? Obviously, we all know that they're good players. But what is it maybe from someone that's coached them that you saw day in and day out that makes them?
First of all, as a kid, they are brilliant. Mm-hmm. They are very interesting. They are very committed. They are very coachable. It's so easy with them. You have to be on the break with them. You know, I had this talk with the first coach of Tony Parker in the institute, and everybody come on him and say, hey, look, the job you did with Tony Parker is amazing. And every time, with a lot of humility, he said, I didn't do anything. I was just here. And he had to lock the door, because Parker can fake that he will go to eat and he will stay on the court to practice. And with Thomas and with Juliette, it's exactly the same. They are very great, they are easy. They have quality, but they are totally dedicated. They listen to you when you are when you say something. So probably they are the two best athletes that I have. Yeah.
Great answers. They're both excellent players. If you weren't involved with water polo and you weren't a coach, what would you have done with your life and what would you be doing now?
I think that I would like to be a journalist, you know.
Water polo?
I don't know, but you know, I was hesitating. On university, I had this sports, master of sports, uh-huh. Yeah? And I have a master of sociology. So this is the thing I would like, and I'm totally passionate about sports, team sports. And I was thinking to go after my master to go on this journalist way. But okay, as I told you, I never played anything. So I had opportunity to come in a water polo state, pop. And at 29, I had the national team. So it was very fast.
You don't plan anything. Do you plan your session plans, or does someone else do that? Fine. Okay. Your favorite place that you visited through water polo? Favorite city or location?
My favorite city is Paris.
Paris.
It's like that. I would say Popovici.
Okay.
Just for my delight, colleague. Okay. But no, Paris is my best city.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have a favorite food? Do you have a favorite meal? If you're on death row and you got your last meal tomorrow, what would you choose?
I cannot pick one. You know, I don't smoke. I don't drink alcohol, but regarding food and French cuisine and Italian cuisine, I can eat a lot of things. So to pick one, it's impossible.
Okay. Have you got any hobbies outside the sport? Anything that you spend a lot of time doing that isn't water polo?
No.
No hobbies? Interesting?
No. Yes. Okay. Sports in general. I like sports in general. I don't have time to have my hobbies. I used to play poker a little, but...
A gambler.
Sometimes.
Nice. And sports that you follow. Do you have a role model from, you know, we spoke about Mourinho, Alex Ferguson or someone like that. Do you have a coaching role model?
Let's say Mourinho, Ancelotti. Okay, this is the best that I like. I was fan of this Boston teams with Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce. You know, when I was young. NBA. I like a lot NBA. I like soccer, definitely. Even if for 3 years now, I'm a little upset about what I'm seeing on the Tuesday evening and Wednesday evening Champions League days. But I like all the sports.
At least you watch your team play on a Tuesday or Wednesday, not on a Thursday in the Europa League. So fine. One last question. Can you tell us something about yourself that maybe we as the public don't know, and nothing too personal, obviously, but maybe something that
I'm not. I don't think that something could be
interesting. Nothing interesting about me.
No. Just behind this closed face, where is the heart? You know, something like that. Because I know sometimes I have a coach also, you know. And sometimes I'm closed with the highs and, you know, but it's just when I'm focusing and, you know, I will not kill anybody, you know, just I can laugh, I can make joke.
Good.
But water polo is so important that sometimes I'm too tough.
Good. Okay.
Regarding my body language.
So you'd like to relax a little bit more?
I cannot.
You cannot. No. You cannot. Well, maybe if I had to prepare a team for a home Olympics, I'd be as stressed as you were. But Florin, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for your time, and thank you for everyone for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Just before we go, just a reminder that you are entitled to 10% off at Ware Water Polo. So head over to warewaterpolo.com, enter the discount code podcast10, and receive a 10% discount off your next order. And if you enjoyed the show, please consider subscribing, reviewing, and make sure you follow all of our social media channels to keep up to date with all the water polo news. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Total Water Polo podcast.